Good morning.
It is a great blessing to get to be together. Thankful to see you. And looking forward to spending a little bit of time in 1 Chronicles today. Maybe an unusual passage, a book that isn't given just a whole lot of attention. And so we're going to be looking here today and considering some things that that David did and that David said, and that God wants us to know, and ways that you and I can be encouraged, ways that you and I can express ourselves in a way that is righteous and express ourselves in a way that brings glory and praise to God. Because as has already been mentioned, the holiday of Thanksgiving is upon us. It was said, you know, that maybe some extra folks are in town as colleges are out for the break, and it was said that parents are probably thankful that their kids are home. I was thinking maybe some are thinking, how quickly do they go back? I'll be thankful for that. No, not any of our families. But it is good to be together, and it's great that we have this time, this opportunity to be away from school and work and things like that, at least for one day, maybe for a few hours. To be together and to reflect upon what we're thankful for. And so I think this is an appropriate time, as so many are at least in name are thinking about things that they are to give thanks for. We're going to be looking today and thinking about King David. Certainly you know that King David was one that was richly blessed. When he would stop and take inventory, when he would stop and reflect on who he was, the station that he had, the power that he had, the riches that he had, the victories that he had won on the battlefield, when he stopped and reflected on all the things he had, he recognized, God has blessed me. I am thankful to God. That's something that you see a number of different times throughout David's life. And I'm convinced that's one of the characteristics, the fact that David could be, in spite of other things that were going on, that David could find those times. He had it in his heart to be gracious. He gave out blessings to people. He looked for the overlooked and he brought them in. He looked for those that were hungry and needed some cake and something to drink and some meat, and he gave it to them. He was gracious, and he was also one that was able to show gratitude. He could say to his God, be it in poetry and song or in prayer, David could say to his God, thank you. And so I think that's part of the reason why in Acts 13, verse 22, that it said of David, he's a man after my own heart. So what we're going to try and do today is we're going to look at a song that's recorded here. 1 Chronicles 16, verses 8 through 36. It's something that David told the people. You're going to learn this. We're going to sing this together. It's going to be the kind of thing that we're going to let God know how thankful we are. So here's the setting. Let me give you a little background before we read too many things here in 1 Chronicles 16. David is moving the capital. He's moving the headquarters, the kingdom is going to go from when Saul was ruling in Gibeah, it's going to move to Jerusalem. David's the one who moves the kingdom to Jerusalem. And so before this, there'd really been no permanent dwelling place. But as you look in 1 Chronicles 17, verse 9, God says, speaking of David and in David's time frame, God says, I'm going to give my people a permanent dwelling place. Meaning they're finally going to put their roots down here in Jerusalem. That's 17, 9. And so David is bringing the kingdom to Jerusalem. And so David is going to have a beautiful palace. Look at 14:1. Hiram, the king of Tyre, sent messengers to David and cedar trees and masons and carpenters. And they built this house for David. This means David now dwells in a glorious, magnificent palace, like any true king who's really got some power should do. And so he dwells in this beautiful palace. And so what he's going to do next, he's going to bring the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. Because right now it's not there. And so in 15:1, look at 15:1. David built houses for himself in the city, and he prepared a place for the ark of God, and he pitched a tent for it. The ark of the covenant, the ark of God represents the very presence of God. It was going to be one of those visible reminders that God was always in their midst. That's why when they were traveling from place to place and using the tabernacle as their place of worship, they always traveled with the tabernacle. And they always traveled with the ark. Wherever they set up camp, you know what was right smack dab in the middle of their camp every time? The ark. And so now they're going to set up a permanent residence here in Jerusalem. David's got to bring the ark in. And so this isn't going to be just something he does quietly. It's not going to be something that's done under the darkness and the cover of night. When you bring the Ark of the Covenant into your dwelling, meaning that the presence of God is coming in to our midst, they're going to make a big show of it. And so David, look at 16, verse 7. 16, 7. David is going to plan a day of thanksgiving. He's going to have all of Israel stop what they're doing and consider what a wonderful blessing it is to be part of God's kingdom. 16:7 says this, "On that day, David first appointed that thanksgiving be sung to the Lord by Asaph and his brothers." So he assigns Asaph and his family to be in charge of this time. And he says, "Israel, here's what we're going to do. People of God, here's what we're going to do. We're going to come together. We're going to stop everything else. And we're going to declare to God how thankful we are to Him for His blessings." So David says, here's what we're going to do. And this song of praise is going to include all kinds of things. As we examine this song, which really, these verses 8 through 36 are really a combination of three different psalms. Psalm number 96, Psalm number 105, and Psalm number 106. Those three psalms, pieces are taken from them and put here into this place. And David says, this is what we're going to sing to God. So what I want you to do as we look through this together today, as we examine this song, I want you to examine your heart. I want you to examine your life. Because I think what you're going to see here is that you're going to be given insight from God about who you are. You're going to be given insight about what you really value, what you really think is important. Because we'll be given insight into areas that should be capturing our hearts. We'll be given insight into things that David says, here's what should be on your mind. And if that's not what it is for you and me, then we've got some changes to make, some growing up to do, some examination of what really is important in our lives. Because David says, here's what God is, and here's what God expects. And we're going to give Him thanks for that. So, we're just going to make four observations. We're going to make four notes of what is in this song of David's about the way in which they're going to express their thanksgiving to God. That everything else has stopped. And they say, here's what we sing to God. So it's a psalm of thanksgiving that begins here. They're going to express to God that they are thankful for His provision. Read verses 8 through 13. I know we've looked at it, but look at it again. Because I want you to take special note as we read this paragraph of noting that we're giving thanks for what God has given us. When it speaks of the deeds that God has done, when it speaks of the works that God has done, it means He's done something in order to provide for us. So this is a good place to start. 16:8. Give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds. Let people know that God's blessed you. Sing to Him, sing praises to Him. Tell of all of His wondrous works. Tell people about the ways that God has blessed you, about the things He's done for you. He says, glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His presence continually. Remember those wondrous works that He's done. Remember what He's provided for you. His miracles, the miracles He worked, the judgments He handed down, the things He uttered. It says, O offspring of Israel, His servant, children of Jacob, His chosen ones. In other words, don't you remember all the things He's done for us? We often hear it mentioned in our public prayers that we are thankful for the freedom that we enjoy in this country, and we should. To take freedom like mornings like this for granted would be terrible, to say it lightly. I want you to know that we join in godly people of the past when we do that. Because I'm telling you, Israel would have said, thank you, God, for setting us free from Egypt. Thank you, God, for setting us free from Babylon. Thank you, God, for making us free that we can come here and we can come around your ark and we can come into this temple, that we can worship you and not be afraid of being told you're not allowed to do that. Because there were times in their history where they couldn't. Times in their history where, like Daniel, just opening up his window to pray to God put him in harm's way in the lion's den. He wasn't allowed to just freely worship God as he wanted. So there would have been times like this that they would say, remember what God has done. Remember the way that God has blessed you. One of those things is he has set you free and allowed you to come and worship like this. You and I, very, very, very routinely and very often in our prayers, we thank God for the things that we have. Homes, jobs, clothes. Especially as that mindset displayed whenever we gather around the table. We get ready to give back a portion of the ways we've been blessed. Right? And so this isn't wrong. This is a good thing. This is a righteous thing to remember that we've been blessed by God with these things that we need to make it through life. And so it is, it's a good thing. It's a righteous thing to take inventory of all the ways that we've been made rich. In fact, it'd be selfish if we didn't. But I believe we need to look deeper than that. I believe we need to look further than that. We cheat ourselves and we sell God short when we limit our thanksgiving to just those things. Now note, I didn't say stop giving thanks for that. That should be included. Thank you, God, for the things you've given, ways you've blessed so that we can give to others. Don't dismiss that. Don't discard that. Keep that, but add to that. Remember in Matthew chapter 7 at verse 11, where it says, your heavenly Father knows how to give good things to those who ask him. Those good things might not always take the form that we would dream up. Those good things might not always take the form that we would design if we were doing it on our own. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the Bible says, give thanks, note this, not just when you're on top of the world. Give thanks not just when you've been given a pay raise, but give thanks in all circumstances, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Reminds me of something I read some time ago. I'm guessing that some of you are probably familiar with the name Corrie Ten Boom. Corrie Ten Boom was a girl that survived the Holocaust, made famous by writing a book called The Hiding Place. Because what she and her family had done was they were originally hiding people from the Nazi terrorists. They were hiding people who the Nazis wanted to take to the death camps and destroy. And then they were discovered that they were hiding these people, and so they got taken to a concentration camp. But they survived the Holocaust. And so she wrote this book, The Hiding Place, has become famous and all this. So here's one of the accounts, one of the most well-known accounts in The Hiding Place. They had gotten into this terribly cramped and just disgusting and rancid barrack. People just pressed in upon each other like animals. And she said she noticed the first moment that they laid down on the straw that's supposed to be their bed, that it was just completely infested with fleas. They had been able to sneak in a Bible, and so they'd been studying together, and they read 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And her sister said, we're to give thanks in all circumstances. Look, we're together. Look, we get to have this Bible. Didn't get taken from us. And Corrie said, well, there's no way in the world I'm going to be thankful for these fleas. Listen. Soon she noticed that their barracks didn't get visited by the SS soldiers. They had a lot of freedom in that barrack. They could open up that Bible and they could study together. They could talk to each other. They could encourage each other. They could help each other inside those barracks. And after many days had gone by, she finally found out why. One of the other guards said, there's no way in the world we're going into that barracks. It's covered in fleas. And she got down on her knees and said, God, thank you for the fleas. Now here's the point. You may think that it's only when it's up here, when I'm getting all those things that I want, that I should give God thanks. It might be when you've got fleas that God is giving you something good that you didn't recognize. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Can you imagine finally recognizing and saying to God, thank you for having me and my barracks and my friends and everyone be covered head to toe in fleas. Our God is a provider. So let's remember, as he says here in this paragraph, let's remember the wondrous works that he's done. Let's be thankful when we're up as well as when we're down, because even if we don't see it right away, you need to remember that God is a provider and he's providing for us. So let's give thanks to the Lord and let's make known all that he's done. Be thankful for God's provision. The second thing would be this in the next paragraph. We need to be thankful for God's precepts. Read with me beginning at verse 14. Now think with me what I mean by precepts are God's laws, God's commands, the things that God has decreed from heaven to us that we must do. So beginning at verse 14, He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember His covenant forever and the word that He commanded. Remember His commands. This is what we give thanks for. Remember His commands for 1,000 generations. The covenant that He made with Abraham, His sworn promise to Isaac, which He confirmed to Jacob as a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. So saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as a portion for an inheritance. David desires to bring the ark to Jerusalem. Let's have a little background here, right? David's plan, David's goal, David's desire is to bring the ark from outside the walls, from outside the city into Jerusalem so it can be there next to his glorious palace. But when he does it, when he seeks to bring God's covenant or God's ark into the city, David ignores God's precepts. David ignores God's laws. Refresher course, look back at Exodus 25. Exodus 25 beginning at verse 10 and going through verse 16. Exodus 25, 10 to 16, when God is telling them how to design and build the Ark of the Covenant, he says, you're going to put four rings on the outside that will be permanently attached. These four rings will never come off of the Ark. And through those four rings, you'll put two poles. And through those two poles, you will carry this Ark on your shoulders. Numbers 7, verse 9 says this, only the sons of Kohath of the tribe of Levi, and only on their shoulders, meaning only using those poles. Numbers chapter 4, verse 15. Anyone who touches something holy like the ark will die. Now, so you see the groundwork laid here? Numbers 4, Numbers 7, Exodus 20. God's law has made it crystal clear. You can't misunderstand this. Here's the way I've designed the ark. It's to be carried through these poles, using these poles on your shoulders. You don't ever touch it. You touch it, you die. It's that plain, black and white. Then you read 1 Chronicles 13, verse 7. 1 Chronicles 13, 7 says this. They carried the ark of God on a new cart. A cart, not using the poles, not carrying it on their shoulders. From the house of Benadab. And then there's Uzzah and Ohio there driving the cart. So the wrong family, utilizing the wrong method, bringing the cart into Jerusalem. So look at verse 9. Look at what happens. When they came to the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put out his hand to take hold of the ark. Wasn't his fault. Look, the oxen stumbled. I don't take responsibility. I blame the ox. That's what we always do, right? Wasn't me. It was the oxen stumbled. And he put out his hand to steady it. And so the Lord said, well, innocent mistake. It was the ox's fault. It's okay. All's forgiven. No, it says in verse 10, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he struck him down because he put out his hand to the ark, and he died right there before God. Now, David didn't like that. David got angry about that, but David came to realize, he came to understand, you know what? We should have listened. We should have gone back and adhered to and followed the commands and the precepts that God had given us. And so now, after this event with Uzzah, David now has a brand new appreciation for the ark. He has a brand new appreciation for God's law. Look at 1 Chronicles 15, verse 2. David said that no one but the Levites may carry the ark of God. See, his tune has changed now. Only the Levites, like he said in the law of Moses. The Lord has chosen them to carry the ark of the Lord and minister to him forever. Then go down to verse 13. He says, because you did not carry it the first time, speaking to the Levites, the family of Kohath, because you didn't carry it the first time, the Lord our God broke out against us because we didn't seek him according to his rule. So the priests and Levites consecrated themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord, the God of Israel. And the Levites carried the ark of God on their shoulders with the poles like they should have done the first time, just as Moses had commanded according to the word of the Lord. So David leads the people here in 1 Chronicles 16 He leads the people in singing about God's judgments and singing about God's commandments and how they should acknowledge and follow them. You see, his perspective changed. Let's be grateful to God for the laws he's given. Let's remember that and let's glorify that. Let's be thankful that God has given us a law, because you know what? It means God cares about us. God gives a law because he loves. Just like a parent. Like a parent who restricts junk food or restricts time with media or gives bedtimes or restricts associations. A parent does those things and lays down those laws because of the love they have for their children. Why can we not see the exact same concept in our God? We're to be thankful that God's given us a law because it means he knows what is best. Just like a parent who's gained wisdom over time and failures and all these things, the Lord, who's infinite in wisdom and power, knows what is best and shares that with us. We're to be thankful that God's given us a law because it means that he wants us to know him. When God says, here's what I expect, when God says, here's what I demand, it means he's telling us, this is who I am. This is what I'm about. And so I give you this law, not just so you can stay in these rigid lanes, but so you know who I am and you'll be blessed. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, the Bible says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. Let's be thankful for God's laws. He loves us. He knows what's best. He's revealing himself to us through those laws. So let's not be so foolish as to grieve his laws on things like marriage and the home, Matthew 19, 4 to 9. Let's not grieve his laws on things like salvation, Acts 2, 38, on worship, or grieve his laws on church organization, as we see laid out in 1 Timothy 2, 8 through 3, 7. I mean, on and on we could go, that as we see these things laid out in the New Testament, the New Covenant for us, let us embrace them and love them and submit to them. Be thankful for God's precepts. David sang about how wonderful it was to have a God who cared enough about his people to give them a law. Let's be thankful as well. The commandments are not burdensome. The commandments of God are a demonstration of his love. Let's sing about how thankful we are. Then thirdly is this. We're to be thankful for God's people. Look at 16:19. He says, when you were few in number, just a little account and sojourners in it, you were wandering from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people. He allowed no one to oppress them. He rebuked the kings on their account, saying, touch not, note what he calls them, don't touch my anointed ones, my chosen ones, my special ones. Do my prophets no harm. Look at 13:2 and 15:3. David's calling all of God's people from all over the world to come here and be here for this time of thanksgiving. David wanted all of their people to be together. He wanted them to collectively give thanks for how special it was to be God's people. This is certainly a biblical concept. As you read through the New Testament, you know, Acts 2, 41 to 47, the early church there is together strengthening and encouraging and worshiping together. In Ephesians 1, verses 15 through 17, Paul demonstrates how he is always, Paul is forever praying about the unity of the church. He's forever praying about the growing strength of the local church communities. You'd find him saying to wherever it was, Corinth, Galatia, Ephesus, you'd find him saying, I'm always praying for you. And I'm praying that not only will you come to understand the power of God, but I'm praying that you will understand how special it is to be part of this family. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 33, he says, when you come together to eat, meaning when you come together to commune around the Lord's table, note this, he says, wait for each other. Consider what it means to be a family. Act like it, live like it. Your worship should demonstrate it. Your life should demonstrate it. What we need is a renewed sense of gratitude for the body of Christ. We need time spent encouraging each other to greater heights. We need time spent picking each other up and building each other up. David said, I want all God's people to be together, so together, collectively, as one heart, they can tell God, thank you. Thank you for watching out for us. Thank you for taking care of us. Thank you for bringing us together. It was special to be part of God's people, and we should think the same. Then fourthly and finally is this, is that we should express our thanks for God's power. beginning at verse 23 of chapter 16, 1 Chronicles 16, 23. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among the people. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and He's to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples, they're worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and joy are in His place. Our God has the power to create. You and I should be amazed by His creation. You and I should be amazed by His creativity. In Psalm 8, beginning at verse 3, this is what the psalmist says. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you've set in place, he says, I'm amazed by your power and creativity. So he says, what is man that you're mindful of him and the son of man that you care for him? This is the same God who that psalmist was praising, who David said, let's come together and give thanks to. This is the same God that is at work today. He has immeasurable power and greatness. He has great might that works towards those who believe, Ephesians 1:19. In Ephesians 3:20, it says this, now to Him who's able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, our God has the power to create, to protect, to lead. We must be thankful for this power of God's. But it's also the same God, as it says in 16:23, sing to the Lord all the earth and tell of His salvation. Our God has the power to save. What would cause somebody to be more thankful than to think about being forgiven from sin? Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation. Let me tell you this. For those in this room this morning who have never known the truth, for those who've never obeyed the gospel, you can be saved. Not because of how smart or strong you are, but because of the power of God. If you will submit to Him, He has the power to change and save even you. And it says in Romans 11:23, God has the power to graft in again. This is a discussion of those who were part of God's family who had been removed. It says God has the power to bring them back in. So to those of you who are here today, those of you who've wandered away, think you've now found a path that's so far away you're unrecognizable, unseeable, unsavable. God can restore even you. That's the power that He has. Have you never obeyed the gospel? Never acknowledged your sinful, frail life before the King of all kings? Acknowledge that Jesus is the only Savior for this sinner. Acknowledge that He was the one that was put on a cross and then put in a tomb, but that also then powerfully walked out of the tomb on the third day. Have you not acknowledged that before men? Have you not been united with Jesus in His death, burial, and resurrection? Added to the kingdom, washed clean of sin, brought up to a brand new life in the waters of baptism? Because you see, here's what we're telling you. That if you've never obeyed the gospel, this powerful God calls you. But if you've wandered away, this same powerful God calls you home. So let's be thankful for our great and wonderful God. Let's be thankful for all that He's done and all that He continues to do. David said in verses 29, 30, and 31 here of 1 Chronicles 16, David said, we express our thanks to God by bringing Him offerings and worship. He said, we express our thanks to God by showing Him fear, by being reverently aware of who He is. And we acknowledge our thanksgiving to God by living lives of joy. That can only be done when we know His power and our salvation. Does your life and your worship demonstrate your gratitude to God? What we call on you to do is to express your thanks to Him today, even now while we stand and sing together.